Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming, or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. And if you are an author listening to today's interview and would like to be featured on this network, please visit speakuptalkradio.com for all of the details or contact us at pr@speakuptalkradio.com. Right now, I have a fascinating woman and an author with me with a website that shares this: paranormal romance author, life interrupted by passion, intrigue, and poltergeists. And she is Lorelei Buckley. Lorelei is a native Chicagoan who spent most of her life in libraries or on the shores of Lake Michigan penning poetry. In fifth grade, she won a poetry contest, and from that moment on, she knew she wanted to be a writer. Life took her in a different direction, but in 2007, out of curiosity, she visited a writer's workshop and immediately resonated with the art of storytelling. Though she's best known for her steamy paranormal romance novels, she has works published in various genres as well as several completed screenplays. Currently, her projects include the third book in her Midnight Road series and a short story series loosely based on her experience as a kid growing up in Chicago. And the series is titled Chicago Kids, written in the pseudonym L.R. Moore. Individual stories can be found on chinillo.com. The full-length anthology is set for release by Night Edge Publishing, spring of 2017. And in her spare time, she ghost hunts, researches genealogy, and interacts with nature. She lives in Texas with her husband and a family of rescue animals. And for more information, you can find more at her website, LoreleiBuckley.com. And I am so ready to get started, so welcome to the network, Lorelei.
Hi, Pat. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. Now, Lorelei, you got me at rescue animals and ghost hunts. So before we delve into your books, tell us just a bit about your animals and then your ghosts.
Well, I've been in animal rescue for several years now, and I have to say every time I feel like I have to go in a different direction and focus more on writing, they find me. So I'm a strong animal advocate, and I have a house full of rescue animals. I've managed to rehome several, and I'm also a strong advocate for spaying and neutering. There are so many organizations that now offer free or reduced rates on spaying and neutering, and it's so important.
It is important. You and I spoke before the show, and I mentioned that I have 11 rescue cats, and if it were not for the Trap Neuter Return program in our area here, we'd probably have 150 or even more. So I do encourage people to pay attention to that comment that you made and return.
Yeah, absolutely. If people aren't aware of what TNR is, please look into it. Your community probably has organizations and groups doing that. You can most of the time borrow traps or rent traps, and it's a really great program to help reduce the animal population.
Exactly, exactly. Well, I love you for what all of the work that you do. You have rescue cats and two dogs, and that's a big responsibility and a big job, and you obviously have a big heart. So my hat goes off to you.
And to you.
Well, thank you. We are like kind. Now, I do want to just touch on your ghosts and your ghost hunting. Tell us a bit about that and how that crossed your path.
Well, I've always been, I guess, the weird kid. I've always been fascinated with ghosts and paranormal occurrences ever since I was a kid, and I have had experiences. I've seen spirits, or I've seen unexplainable phenomena more than once throughout my entire life, and I'm nearly 50 years old. And I've seen so many that I can't rule it out. I remain curious. So in my spare time, I will go to like noted haunted houses or haunted hotels. One of my favorite visits was Jefferson, Texas. And if you are a ghost enthusiast, I encourage you to visit Jefferson, Texas. It was incredible, to the point where there was a building that we visited on a ghost tour, and you can just feel the whole crowd was just goosebumpy. And trying to take pictures of that building even though it was lit up, even though every camera had flash bulbs or flashlight, you couldn't. All the pictures came out black. There was an orb spotted. It was just an incredible experience. And I have pictures on my Instagram of a wine glass that was left in our room. And if you take a look at the way the wine glass broke when we returned to our room, it's unexplainable. Mm. It was almost as if a glass cutter seared the bowl of the glass in half.
Wow.
Yeah, it was very strange. So I explore that, and I enjoy it, and it helps me with my writing and inspires stories, and even to understand what that element of fear is. If I'm writing characters who are for the first time coming upon a haunted house or a ghost, I need to understand how they're going to feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
So research and personal interest and I guess it's in my blood. And I say, I want to just backtrack a minute. When I say it must be in my blood, I've also started doing genealogy. My father was adopted, and just something really interesting that came up with my grandmother. So my grandmother on my mother's side did something called hagiography. I hope I pronounced that right, but she read tea leaves. And recently I found my grandmother on my father's side did the same, only with coffee grounds.
Oh.
And as I'm meeting family, her children, my father's siblings, they're explaining to me that she was clairvoyant, and she was sort of the neighborhood prophesizer. She would prophesy, she almost like an astrologer. People would come to her, and she would give year-long prophecies, or she was the neighborhood ultrasound. Pregnant women would go to her, and she would tell them the sex of their child. And she, I guess, had such a high rate of accuracy. One of my newfound uncles explained people would faint and just sob, and I just had this moment of thinking, wow, it really is in my blood.
Mm-hmm.
So,
no, absolutely,
you've
got history, and I'm glad that you realized that without even knowing what your history was, and then have that history kind of corroborate what it is that you're feeling.
Yeah, it was fascinating. It was very interesting.
Well, and then even prior to becoming an author, then you were in healthcare as well, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When I was 19, I was diagnosed with psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis so bad that 90% of my body was covered with psoriasis. I ended up in the emergency room on IV just to try and clear my skin. I was also in a high-stress situation, so that didn't help. But nothing was working. As you know, a young girl, prior to that, I had a few modeling gigs, and it was just very humbling because it's not an attractive disease. So nothing would work. Doctors were giving me cortisone treatments or topicals, and it would go away for a little while and return. So anyway, that kind of got my interest going toward holistic health measures, maybe diet.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sorry, I have allergies and my lungs are a little bit. So anyway, for allergies with the lungs, licorice root, it's the best. So moving forward, nothing was working in the conventional kind of methods, so I turned to natural modalities, starting with diet and detoxing and cleaning up my diet, you know, reducing sugar or eliminating altogether, caffeine, alcohol, all of those things. Learned about detoxification through, I would just say like mildly or easily lemon juice and water, fresh squeezed lemon and hot water in the morning. And then I kind of went into deeper cleansing, lymphatic system. Lymphatic drainage is what it's called. And anyway, that led me into becoming a naturopath. I went to college in Santa Barbara, California, and graduated as a naturopath. I opened up my own business in Enbrook, Texas. And it was really difficult because in most cases, people at that time anyways, this was almost 20 years ago. So at that time, people were turning to naturopaths or natural modalities when nothing else worked. And oftentimes, their situations were dire. So it was really difficult to see and to experience that and live with people through these, difficult situations. And I learned a lot. I ended up needing a break, and I closed that business and was then called by an alternative cancer clinic and went to work there. And it was amazing, an amazing learning process. And there's so much. There's so many things people can do to enrich their health. Preventative things that are very simple and very inexpensive. And I just wish we can do more of that. Or, you don't need to spend a ton of money on vitamins. Herbs are amazing and they're inexpensive. And you can boil up a pot of dandelion root if you have liver issues. So there's that.
And as you were saying this and in saying how stressful your naturopathic practice was, it really is when you are involved in other people's healthcare moments, it does take a lot out of you. And I think I read on your website that helped you to turn into writing, just the stress of that led you to become a writer. So maybe share how you got into writing and what books you wrote at first and what genre they were. Let's head into the whole writing mode.
After the cancer clinic, and it wasn't just the cancer clinic, it wasn't just the patients, I'll say, since there was a medical doctor there as well. It wasn't just the patients with cancer and the stress of that and the heartbreak of that, but it was also in the background that there were partners that owned the clinic and they were dividing and it wasn't amicable. So that added to the stress. So after, when I decided to leave that, right before, I think I left, honestly, because we moved, kind of trying to get the timeline straight. But afterward, I was really kind of burned out, and I didn't know what to do. I was feeling very sick. This kind of crosses barriers of paranormal, but in this cancer clinic, they had a medical doctor, they had a DO, a nutritionist, detoxification, there was a group of practitioners, and one of them, interestingly, was a Russian psychic. Mm. And at the time, I was told Russia didn't consider psychics very woo-woo. They actually had a college, and if you had that gift, they helped you enhance it. So she was from Russia, and I was feeling very sick. I was working with a woman who had breast cancer, and I wasn't telling the clinic my colleagues how sick I was feeling. It was just, I was kind of keeping it to myself, but I was really run down. And she at some point came into my room, and she kind of walked around very stoic and just quietly, and then she looked at me and she said, "You have wonderful energy here. This is a great healing environment." She said, "However, people like you typically find a new line of work." And I was so offended, $35,000 in schooling and like, what are you telling me? What are you saying here? And she said, "I can sense, that you're sick, and I'm just going to tell you this and do with it what you want, but you're going to get sicker. You're absorbing too much, whether it's too much empathy or too much sympathy or whatever I had going on. I was absorbing. And I actually had a breast cancer scare. They had found breast cancer, cancer cells in one of my breasts. And after that, so she said, "I'm just wanting to warn you that you really should think about, maybe finding another line of work and maybe doing this in the background or not hands-on." So I would have really just kind of asked her to leave if I weren't feeling as deathly ill as I was. And if I didn't know that you know, my, what was it called, thermography?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, mm-hmm.
The results of my thermography test. So all of that was kind of looming as she was telling me this, and I thought, wow, maybe, you know, she's been accurate in other cases. Mm-hmm. Maybe I need to think about another line of work. So I kind of left feeling really defeated, like, what am I going to do now with my life? And, you know, I had been writing before that, before fiction, nonfiction, and I've been writing health articles, and they were getting published, and I never really, you know, and I dabbled with fiction and poetry early on in life, but I never really took it seriously as a writer. I was just, you know, either playing with fiction or putting information out there. But I went to a library, I mean, a bookstore, and they said, I picked up a book on occupations. And I looked through the entire book and didn't find anything that I liked other than Private Detective. And my husband nixed that right away. My wife isn't going to be running around at 2 a.m. chasing a cheating husband, you know. So he was a little worried about that. So my options were just so narrow. And I finally, one of the pages said, you know, where do you always find yourself in the bookstore? And it was always reference and writing and screenwriting. And, you know, so that's what kind of inspired me to check out a writer's workshop. And the minute I walked in and just saw these artists, you know, wordsmiths, mm-hmm. and just the passion everyone had, storytelling, I mean, you can entertain, you can educate, you can do so much with storytelling, and people don't feel beat on the head. People are absorbing it and enjoying it, so they're, you know, you can kind of, you know, initiate interest in something. So I just fell in love with that idea, that whole idea. It's like, I'm home. I found what I can try. So, and I did. And the first short story I wrote was actually a horror story. And I think that was because of all of this pent-up grief I had from the cancer clinic. And, you know, and I sent it into a magazine. And the editor hand-wrote me a letter. And he said something about my ability for character development. Anyhow, he praised the story, but he said he guessed the ending. So send us more work. And I thought, oh my gosh, I don't have anything else. This was a story. I just worked on this story for 3 weeks, and this is all I have. I was just trying something. But it did give me the sense that maybe I had something. Maybe I can move forward with this idea.
I'm just sitting here getting chills and goosebumps as you're telling this story, just the evolution of what your past was all about, and then your career, and then having that Russian woman tell you that, and for you to pay attention to that and not, as you say, just kick her out of the room. Yeah, I'm loving this story. Now, so your first short story, was that part of the anthology Short and Twisted? Is that what got put into that book?
No, that one I didn't, I never resent that.
Oh, okay.
What got put into the Short and Twisted, actually the first story I wrote, short story, was published in Doorways magazine, and that was called Girl in the Attic, and it was inspired by my childhood and being up in my attic. We had we lived in a brownstone. Our apartment was on the third floor. And above that was an attic, and it became my playroom. And I had this big, beautiful attic, and it had beams, and I would jump on this old mattress, and there were cats living up there, which was right up my alley. I was, you know, I had a family of cats I played with. And one time I jumped up on the beams, and there was like this sheet of drywall or something up there, maybe plywood, that's what it was. And I climbed up, and I found a box of antique Barbies. And all of those Barbies were bald and came with, like, a set of wigs. So when I was remembering that, I thought, what would be important? How would that be really important to a little girl? How would that mean so much more than it meant to me just finding this? And then I thought, cancer. If a little girl had leukemia or cancer and lost her own hair, this would be a treasure, beyond treasure. Oh. So that inspired Girl in the Attic, and I sent it in, and the editor was a writer named Mort Castle, and he was a horror writer and editor, and the acceptance letter read something like this. He said, our main editor has the heart of Attila the Hun, and you made him cry. Congratulations, we're taking the story.
Oh.
So it read something like that. And so that's one of the stories that that I republished in the Short and Twisted book, as well as what else is in there? Something called Wicked under a pseudonym, and a story loosely based on Sleeping Beauty called Beyond Slumber. So those three stories are in the Short and Twisted books, and I would say they're more darker fiction.
Mm-hmm. Then you also have your Midnight Road series, and then we really want to talk about your, loosely based on your experience growing up as a child in Chicago, your series titled Chicago Kids. Let's talk about that for a bit.
That I'm really loving. So I wrote a blog series, and one was called Why I Write Fiction. It was published in Nancy O Magazine. And then I followed that up with Why I Write Ghosts and Why I Write Romance. And the founder of Tanillo contacted me and said, hey, would you like to write a series for Tanillo? And I wasn't thinking anything, you know, I wasn't thinking along those lines at all at the time. But as it kind of sat with me, I thought, you know, that would be really just a fun break. I could pick anything I want, write short stories, which I love. I love short stories, and I think they're gonna make a comeback because people enjoy reading. If you're in the, you don't have to invest your whole day, or you don't have to worry that, oh, I can't get into the next chapter, so I'm not gonna pick up this book at all. Mm-hmm. Short stories kind of give you a little escape, you know, throughout the day, and you don't have without all this time invested or so anyway, I thought about it, and I have so many stories growing up in Chicago. I mean, really bizarre stories. And I don't know, honestly, if all city kids went through what our group of kids went through. I think it was a real special time. I think of like Sandlot meets Roll and Bounce, you know, was our group, and the neighborhood knew the kids, and many of us were unsupervised and got into a whirlwind of trouble, or it just seemed like a real special time. And also the downside of growing up in the city, like one of the things that I remember as a kid were all of the parents saying, you know, why do you kids play in the alleys? We've got parks. We had a new park built. But city kids knew you can't go to the park because that's where drug dealers and pedophiles go. So in order to stay safe, you stay in the alleys, and that becomes your playground, the roofs and the telephone poles that you're scaling, and, you know, you're playing ball and kick the can and hide and seek, and you're still fringing these homes where you feel safe. No one felt safe at parks. None of the smart kids felt safe at parks.
Interesting.
So, yeah, just stuff like that I thought would be interesting to kind of delve into a little bit and explain.
And what I find fascinating is that each story is told in the point of view of a different child. And then you said that the end of one story bleeds into the beginning of the next story, which is a very interesting concept.
Yeah, that was a story structure I've never tried before. But I thought, you know, I love experimenting as a writer with genre, with structure. And I thought, you know, I have my stories, but if I want to fictionalize this, I'm going to put the POVs in, you know, I'm going to make every kid is going to have a different experience, and eventually they're all going to collide and we'll see a big picture. But I really enjoy, I would say as a writer, meeting new people and writing characters outside of myself. Of course, I get to do that because maybe as a young girl, I wouldn't feel safe maybe clobbering someone who's going to mug an old lady, but this young boy might, you know? Mm-hmm. And I get to play with different aspects of my childhood through other children, and I'm just loving that. It's so much fun.
It sounds like all of your writing is just very cathartic for you on a personal level as well.
Yeah, it really is. Even the paranormal, I actually weave a lot of kind of holistic I would say holistic principles are kind of weaved in. There's a kind of a more paranormal element in a lot of holistic methods,
mm-hmm.
I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, positive thinking even.
Yep.
Auras or the energy that surrounds people, visualization, dream work.
Yes.
So a lot of that even is kind of woven into my paranormal stories.
Mm-hmm. That all bleeds into each other. No, I get that. I get that for sure. Are your Chicago Kids book, are those published already?
No. So what Cinillo does is it's a series, and currently you have to go to the Cinillo website, which is CHANNILLO.com, and you can just in the search window put Chicago Kids, and you get to read, I think they offer the first story and maybe half of the second story. So it's every other week I'm putting a new story up. So right now it's not a book, but it's going to be under Night Edge Publishing. But meanwhile, I'm kind of piecemealing these short stories every other week on that site. And I think how it works, I'm new to this site, but I think how it works, as I understand it, you can buy a subscription to that site, and then you can pick like four favorite writers and read their work weekly for as long as you want.
Okay.
So, or I guess monthly. I'm sorry, that didn't make sense. I'm not a good morning person. I think you can subscribe to the site, and then you get, based on your subscription, you can choose, whatever, 2 to 5 writers to follow.
Okay.
That makes more sense.
Yes, and that's Chanillo.com, CHANNILLO, 2 N's and 2 L's. This 30 minutes has gone by way too fast for me. There's so much more that I would like to talk about, but we're going to begin to wrap up. And with that, is there anything then that we missed that you would like to bring up today?
I really hope people take a look at Chicago Kids and some of the stories. I'm told it's some of my best work, maybe because I'm so passionate about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they are true accounts. Even though they're fictionalized, the accounts are true. So I think people will find that real interesting.
Excellent. Well, if it's anything like just the background we've talked about that you bring to these books, it's definitely going to be interesting and fascinating. So that's Chanillo.com. Now, where can folks go then to learn more about you and to purchase your books?
I have, my website is LoreleiBuckley.com, and all of my books are available on Amazon, as well as Direct Strike, and that earned a star review from Publishers Weekly. That's also available at KensingtonBooks.com.
All right, so a good place to start is LoreleiBuckley.com.
Yeah, all of my information is there. You can read my blogs, you can find my books, everything is there, all my links, social media links.
Okay. Excellent, excellent. Well, prior to the show, we were thinking some of your dogs were going to chime in, but they were good girls this morning.
Quiet, really quiet, good girls.
What are their names?
We've got Bonnie and we've got Pete. Petey came with that name. Oh, there they go.
There they are, yay. All right. Lorelei, what a pleasure and a blessing to have met you. I feel very connected to you on so many levels, and I do want to continue our conversation, maybe on my personal show at some other point in time. So thank you, though, so much for sharing you and your books with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed myself.